And my name is Barry Castle. I'm part of the Link technical marketing team. Short round of applause for Mahesh making it back, which is great news. So I'm part of the Link technical marketing team. I look after manageability and server, and I'm also currently involved in Link Skype connectivity, and I work with Derek Whittle sitting at the back of the room, and we're going to be presenting demonstrations of Link Skype connectivity V2 with video in the next session. So a little bit of promotion there. I'm going to be joined today by Mahesh. Mahesh is the product owner for the PowerShell and, in general, all manageability features for Link Server and Link Online. So without further ado, let's have a look at what we're going to be talking about today. The session objectives is basically to equip you with all knowledge relating to the remote PowerShell. That starts with the business case, the motivation, why we've done this, and it moves through the basic mechanics and architecture of the remote PowerShell, and it gives you the takeaways of how this can be used as a differentiator as you roll out your Link services, why PowerShell equips you to go faster, to do more, to scale your organization quickly. So our agenda, I mentioned positioning, the value proposition. Give you those technical details. So we'll start with the basic installation process. We'll take you through both the prerequisites, what systems you need. We'll talk to you about some of the internals. We use policy instance mechanisms. That gets a little bit complex. That's where Mahesh steps in from the product side. He's going to do a style of presentation, whereas I'm going to focus on some canned demos. So he's going to do a demo where he's actually going to type in all of the commands. I've written a PowerShell script, which we've recently loaded onto the download site at Microsoft so that people can benefit from the work that we've done here. The demonstration script basically is like training wheels on a bike. It shows how to script up all of the things we're going to share with you today. And I should mention there is also a section at the end on reporting for Link Online. All right. So we've been testing this message with customers, and it seems to be resonating. Effectively, what we're saying is Link 2013 puts you in control. And really, I'm focusing in on PowerShell here with a single PowerShell management interface for delivering universal communications across the enterprise, you know, from server deployments all the way through to online services. But the idea here is actually the PowerShell bit is that single management interface. So folks that are using PowerShell in their organization to manage Exchange Server, SharePoint, and other Microsoft assets are already fully trained up on the mechanics of how to use PowerShell and how to basically to manage systems with it. So we brought that across to Link. Obviously, you have a web-based front end for Link, but the interesting thing is behind that web interface, it's all PowerShell. So internally, I mean, the message out to the market is really, if you're a system admin, PowerShell is the way to go. And this is how you scale your activities. You know, you do it once, you test it, you qualify what you're about to do, and then you roll it across your organization. Well, we were missing the component that allowed people to do that for Link Online. We released support for Link Online with a remote PowerShell back this summer. So that was July and into August of 2013. So I'm going to talk a little bit about why that's important. But first of all, obviously, those of you, anyone actually, may I ask, not familiar with PowerShell? Quick look around the room. You all know PowerShell. So I'm speaking to people who know a lot more than I do about how to use PowerShell, which is awesome. Great. But I'm a marketing guy, and the message is scripts beat clicks. One of our direct competitors has got an architecture that involves multiple acquisitions. They appear not to have provided a single command line interface across all of those assets. They do have a mechanism for managing those assets using a web browser interface. But again, scripts beat clicks. You're more powerful as a system admin when you've got repeatable tasks that you can customize and use on a day-to-day basis as quickly as you need to go. It's scalable, so you can manage those policies and push them out to groups of people all at once very quickly. You can do that to groups within your Active Directory architecture or to the entire tenant. It's familiar. We use the same mechanism throughout all of our PowerShell interfaces. It's powerful, and you can have it your way. So effectively, you use the same PowerShell mechanism to manage very small link online tenants all the way up to extra large dedicated systems. In fact, while I'm talking right now, there is a parallel session, I probably shouldn't say this because you'll all leave the room, on extra large tenants. That one doesn't focus so much on PowerShell. It focuses about general manageability for extra large tenants. So if you want to watch that, that's in on Lee is the name of the track 303. So if you get the chance, watch that one. Francois Doremieux, who's one of our colleagues, in fact, often presents with us, is presenting that in parallel. So that might be one to complement what we're saying here. You can have it your way, so you can actually customize the interface that you present either to users or other admins. And I actually have a demo that I'm going to share with you that shows how to do that. That's the script download. All right, so why PowerShell? Again, it's that clicks, scripts beat clicks. You can accomplish a lot with minimum effort. I'm repeating some of the things I said in that shorter slide we just saw there. So I'm just going to move straight through to, there are three components to managing Office 365 and Link Online. I'm going to start over on the left. There is a connector that you can use with PowerShell called MSOL. That connector allows you to manage your Active Directory implementation and various aspects of Office 365, including your licenses. The connector that we're going to be talking to you mostly about today is the Link Online connector. That one is used to manage all aspects of Link, so real-time communications. That's where you go. You go to the green box here, the one on the right. Below there, you have the Exchange connector. That one is used, obviously, for reporting. When I do my demo, I'm actually going to load all three of these connectors at the same time, and I'm going to show how you can do all of the tasks from a single management script interface. Mahesh, on the other hand, will just focus on the green box here and do Link Online. So with this release, we've been listening to the customers. The customers are saying Link Online is actually strategic for us. We need a management interface. That's PowerShell for us. We listened. We built it. We have a cadence of constant improvement now, and that would have been made clear by Gurdeep in his keynote. We're sort of a quarterly release cadence, and there have been improvements to PowerShell since we released, primarily in the reporting area. Mahesh will know of all of the intricate details of the other things he's enhanced. He hasn't been slacking for the last 9 months, so he'll tell us more. Our commitment to the cloud. Without PowerShell, it wasn't quite there. With PowerShell, we're enterprise ready and committed to the cloud. Extending. So I've got a couple of examples now about how you would use this. So some of the features that are provided within the admin center, which is the portal that you use to manage Office 365, some of those features don't go all the way. With PowerShell, actually you get additional capabilities that you don't get within that management interface. That always creates a question when we deliver this presentation saying, okay, so that's all very well, but in some circumstances, we would actually like the complete capability, both sides. Mahesh can talk to that, but it's certainly something we're keeping in mind. We do understand that requirement. But it's going to be PowerShell first for the time being. You get more control, more capabilities from within PowerShell. The next one, you can automate tasks. So you have repetitive tasks, and you just want to repeat them day in, day out, so you can batch stuff. PowerShell's ideal for that. I'm sure you all know that a lot better than I do. And then customize. This is actually a shot of my management interface. As you can see, I didn't make it particularly pretty, but that wasn't the point. The point was just to show you can customize. Obviously, someone who was serious about this would probably put an HTML interface onto this. All I did was basically build this out for the purposes of giving you guys a demo, but also providing an easy reference for you guys to look up the information about every single command that you're interested in, hopefully. And obviously, what you could do is you could customize it for specific groups within your organization, providing a front end to do stuff on the system. So a little more complex, that one. I haven't taken it that far, but I'm sure you guys think your way through those sort of opportunities. All right, so concepts, technical details, and demo. I think this is my time to introduce Mahesh and to quieten down and let him take over.
Hello. Thank you, Barry. Thanks a lot. Hello, all. How are you all doing? I'm Mahesh Ambaraneswaran. I'm a program manager with the Link Server team. And over the next, 30 minutes or so, I hope to take you folks through some of the concepts and technical details behind the remote partial for Link Online. So before I start, I know it's like an after and lunch session, so a very short story. Has any of you been stuck on an elevator? Any of you? You have? Okay. So yesterday, I was stuck in an elevator, not at IREA, at some other casino. And it reminded me so much of kind of Link, right? So what happened was the technical issue was not severe enough to generate an alert on their side. So it was a minor technical problem, right? So I call. I press a phone button and I call them. And the first information they ask is, which elevator? Anyway, that information is not available inside the elevator. But anyway, it was very interesting. But it was just 5 minutes. Anyway, just to wake you all up. All right, and it's an afternoon lunch session. All right, move on. So remote partial kind of works on what you have, right? So we support all OS, starting Windows 7 through Windows 8 and above. The only note here is it has to be x64 OS. And you need Windows Partial 3.0 or later, .NET Framework 4.5, this Microsoft Online Services Sign-In Assistant, which is a free download. And you need this Link Online Connector module, which is basically the module that has the commandlet that connects to our Link Online service. Right. Okay, prerequisites and installations. If you have Windows 8, you're pretty much set. But if you're an earlier version of Windows, you would need at least Windows 7 SP1, 3.0, Windows Management Framework 3.0, and the Microsoft Online Services Sign-In Assistant. Yes? So the question is, does it cover Windows 8 RT? No. Just a brief summary on Link Online commandlets. So we expose this to all tenants. This is, doesn't matter which queue you have. This service is available to all of you, it doesn't matter like which version of the backend that you're in, or which queue that you got, or if you're a syndicated tenant or not. This is available to all. And we have about 48 commandlets available across 8 categories. I'll briefly mention that. And also, the remote partial is like a superset of the Link Admin Center functionality. That is, you'll be able to do stuff that you cannot with Link Admin Center. So something like, for example, provisioning of Link Room systems, which I know is not always easy, but it's possible with remote partial. Customizing AV settings and the management of policies, such as the client inbound policies. So for example, if you don't want the employees of your companies to say paste URLs on IM windows, then you would actually can use a client inbound policy to configure that, so it'll be blocked. So the key message to drive across is this is exposed to all tenants, and we have a functionality that extends Link Admin Center. So here is a brief breakout of the commandlets. Some of the things you can do is get tenant information, such as the SKU information and some other details about the tenant itself. The user information, which includes the policies that the user has and the plan that the user is assigned. the client inbound policies. We talked about that a little bit. And also external access and federation, as well as, say, meeting configuration, something like, do you want anonymous users to join your meetings? What is the default presenter configuration and all of that? In addition, you can also configure push notifications for mobile. Oh, was there a question? Okay. So here is a slide that compares the on-premises to the online partial offering. Now, I label it current because we try to continuously work towards achieving parity, but obviously parity within the context of the Link Online service value proposition itself, right? So if you just look at the number of commandlets exposed, which is, by the way, not a great metric, but I just want to put it there. So in the on-premises, you have like more than 700 commandlets that are available. In the online, currently, it's about 48 commandlets. And of course, the 700 that is exposed on-premises has a lot of deployment and service configuration commandlets, which you don't need in the services world. Policy instances. So for those of you who are actually not familiar with the concept of policy instance, I have a slide that talks about it. But briefly, on-premises, you can create as many policy instances as you like. But in the online world, we have a fixed set of policy instances that's available to the tenant administrator to be able to assign. Functionality restriction. The functionality itself that a particular user experiences is on-premises world just controlled by the components installed. In the online world, the functionality, the experience that the user gets with the Link Server product is controlled by which policy the user has. And so the policy that the user can have, or the right term to use as a policy instance that the user can have, is controlled by two things. One is the SKU that the user purchased, and the second thing is country-mandated restrictions. So we honor both in the Link Online world. Number of sessions. There's no link level restrictions on premises. In the online world, we throttle using LOA level policies. The default experience most of you will get is it's about 3 sessions per user, and it's capped at 9 sessions at a tenant level. And customer back, as some of you might know, we introduced this feature in Link Server 2013, and this allows organizations to create their own custom RBAC roles and bucket commandlets within that particular RBAC role, in addition to the built-in RBAC roles that we ship. In the online world, custom RBAC is not supported, but we do honor the standard Office 365 admin roles. I think there's about 5 or 6 of them, and it keeps expanding. And the scope on-premises, obviously the users in the deployment. In the online world, it's users within a given tenant, obviously. And in addition, if you have a syndicated tenant, you can manage the other syndicatees in your umbrella. Okay. Moving on. So this slide, I just wanted to briefly introduce the concept of policy instance, and setting. Are most of you who are already familiar with the concept of policies and settings and policy instances? Okay. I think most of you folks are familiar, so I'll be quick with this slide. A policy is something that represents most of a particular major Link Server functionality, right? For example, conferencing is a policy, voice is a policy, federation, external access is a policy. So any major Link Server concept feature is represented by a policy. And the policies are used to tweak the user's experience when they use Link. Now, each of these policies have individual settings within them. If you code speaking, it's something like, you can think of policy like a class, and the variables within the class as the settings, and they regulate the behavior of the class, if you will. And each of these settings can take particular values. It could be Boolean, integer, string, whatever, right? So these settings can take a particular set of values. And a particular combination of those values is called a policy instance. So, in theory, if you have n settings, and all of them can say max take m values. You can have like n into m policy instances. Why do we even have this concept of policy instance? Well, it's tremendously useful. So one is operationally, it's great. So you can create these buckets of policy instances that can be assigned to particular groups within your organization. So engineering gets a particular set of conferencing policy instance, marketing does, and a special set of policy instances for execs, right? And in the online world, obviously, the policy instance matches the SKU that was purchased, and also, again, we honor other country mandated restrictions, so it's for legal reasons also. So one of the major differences, significant difference, like I pointed out, is right now in Link Online, you have to work with the existing set of policy instances, and not all possible policy instances exist. Interestingly, I was in the Link feedback, the manageability feedback session yesterday evening, and from what I gathered from there, it looks like the policy instances that exist seems to suffice most of the needs, but if not, we are always open to adding more. Okay, so here is, I wanted to walk through a real scenario of how you'll use remote PowerShell to address a particular business need that might come up in your organization, right? So let's say there's a situation where you don't want link conversations saved in Outlook. I mean, I personally love this feature. I use it a lot. But there are valid reasons, and there are organizations for security reasons. They don't want the IMs getting saved in Outlook or the call logs getting saved in Outlook, right? Now, the way it actually works is it's completely a client-side functionality. That is, it's kind of a mappy call between the link client and the Outlook itself. So the way to control that is through a client inbound policy. That is, you need to let the client know not to do that, right? So the way it'll work is the tenant admin would actually launch a remote PowerShell session into our Link Online service, and my demo will actually show how to do that. And the next step is they need to understand which policies and settings need to change for a business need. Again, I'll walk you through this an example in my demo, but this is a little bit of a non-trivial step, takes a little bit of getting used to, but that's the next step. You understand which actually policy setting that can turn off IAMs in your saving of IAMs in Outlook, right? Then you actually make the change. So I have like a sample pasted there. Like you do a regular Grand CS client policy. Again, going back to what Barry was saying, so if you're used to the on-premise PowerShell interface, it's the same in terms of, you don't have to learn anything new from a PowerShell perspective or from a link commandlet perspective to be able to link use remote PowerShell, right? So it's the same Grand CS client policy that you'll use with the right policy instance. And the policy flows down to the client, and you can, at that point, the saving of IAMs in Outlook is turned off. This is, by the way, possible only using remote PowerShell, not using Link Admin Center. All right, we are on to demo. Any questions before I start the demo? All right. Did it switch? Okay. Okay, so what I'm going to do is launch regular PowerShell window. And, Control 4. Okay. So the very first thing that you'll do is import the Link Online module connector, right? Now, again, like I said, it's a free download from TechNet. It's like a 2-minute install. So once you've imported that, the next thing that you'll do is you have to give your username and password so that you can use that to authenticate with your servers. Very similar to how you log on into LAC, it's the same username and password, right? So there is this commandlet called get credential, which you pop up, and it's a standard username and password dialog. So I actually already copied the username. As you can see from the name, it'll be hard to memorize that. And for the password, type the password. Now at this point, this credential object that you see here, it has stored your credentials in that, right? Now, next thing that you do is just establish a session into the Link Online service. And for that, you just do a simple new CS online session, and all you do is just pass in the credential object that you just created, right? Okay, cross my fingers, enter. Now, you know, at this point, a ton of magic is happening under the hoods, right? I mean, we are trying to find you, we are authenticating, and actually return pretty quickly. We're trying to find you, we're trying to authenticate you across all the servers and, you know, forests that we have across a lot of regions and data centers, right? So the fact that it returned fine means that, hey, we found you, we know who you are, and now you're ready to use the remote partial service. So one of the things that I can do to just simplify it is to just do an import PS session. It kind of creates this proxy stuff so that it doesn't have to make a round trip all the time. Now, you'll see this interestingly named module, which always starts with the temp. Now, this module has all the commandlets that you would need to be able to manage your tenant, right? Now, you could do a get module, and as you can see here, you can see that as you see that right here, it's part of the modules that are loaded. And you could do a get command dash module, right? And here you go. So this is all the list of commandlets that are available for you to manage your users. So one thing I would like to point out here is, for the purposes of this demo, we are probably going to be touching quickly on these two. One is this Grand CS conferencing policy, which manages the policies for conferences, and then the Grand CS client policy, which does the inbound policy one. Okay. Now, one of the things you can do is you could let's say, for example, you are just interested in finding out all the users, number of users that you have in your tenant, right? It's a simple command. So this is a test tenant. Obviously, it's 11 users, but you're thinking about, like, you know, big companies, really big companies. It's more than, say, 100,000 easily. And the other thing, let's do, for example, let's say you want to look at all the conferencing policy instances that are available, right? So you can see here that it says, let's see, search more. So it says 244 instances, right? That's a lot. As you can see, there's a warning message, and in this case, actually, it's a pretty helpful text that says that you can actually filter the policies that can be applicable to your users by using this parameter called applicable to. So this is the applicable to parameter that's here. And I'll talk about it in a moment. So let's just say, for example, want to pick a user. And what we want to do for that user is, say, turn off video for that user. So let's say the user has all modalities going on, and all we want to do is turn off video for the user. So let's just pick a user. So I'm going to pick, I'm just going to filter by SIP address. And the lucky user is user 3. So let's pick user 3. And you could do a get CS online user and paste the user. And here, you'll see a bunch of information that shows up for the user, right? You have, this is a user enabled for link. You have a bunch of policies, conferencing, voice policy, and you have a lot of details here, right? But one thing that I would like you to focus on is the conferencing policy. You can see that it's basically all modality. That means the user can do pretty much everything, app sharing, audio, video. And you can see that the client policy is null. This basically means the default behavior applies. The default behavior is, and all of this behavior is like documented in TechNet. We have extensive documentation, obviously, on the commandlets themselves on TechNet. And in addition, we have extensive documentation on Link Online Remote PowerShell in TechNet. So the default behavior for client inbound policy being null is that you can paste URLs in IAM windows, right? So let's say we want to change both of this. Now, the first thing that you would want to do is, hey, which is the conferencing policy instance that turns off video for me? So if you do a default get CS conferencing policy installs and you filter by identity, you're going to get a lot, and wait for it to scroll. Right? You get a lot. What you can do to filter this is you can do this applicable to parameter, and you can paste the user information. In this case, it just gives you the command the policy instances that are available for this user. Remember, previously I talked about honoring the SKU that the user has and also the country that the user is from. So this is the filtering that happens. So we give you just the policy instances that are assignable for this user. Now you still go and you look at this and you're like, well, this is still a lot, right? One more level of filtering that you can do is, let's see. Sorry, I have to zoom out a little bit to get my cursor back. Okay, so I'll type this up and then I'll zoom back in. So you can actually, you know, if you have a little bit of familiarity with PowerShell, I'm sure you know, most of you will, so you can actually just filter by doing this. So you can actually do identity, like, and you can type the text, no video. And I should remember to close this and zoom in. See, now it's an even more reduced set. So in this case, you can see that right in front of you, you have this VPOSL or modality no video. Now this is the policy instance that you want to assign to the user so that they can stop doing video. They cannot do video, right? So it's very simple after this point. So let's go back. Oops. Okay. So let's go back to getting the user. So this is the user. So all you have to do now is just do a grant CS conferencing policy and / policy name and just copy this. And that's it. Now, going back to GetCS Online user, remember the screen I showed you before where they could do all modalities? Now, you can see that right here, conferencing policy, it says no video. So at this point, the user cannot do video, right? And you can do very similar things with client invent policy. In the interest of time, I think I'm just going to show really quickly that, and we'll move on. So you could do a GetCS client policy. And again, if you filter by identity. So client policy is, like I said, it's not as large number of quantities as the conferencing policy. But right here, you can see that we have a client policy, no IAM URL. So pretty much you can do is do the same thing. You could do a GetCS online user, and this time, just do a grant CS client policy - policy name. Oops, that's not what I wanted. Policy name. And just copy this. Okay. Oh, okay. So I was using grant CS conferencing policy. I had a typo here. Let me correct that. So what I should do is use grant CS client policy. Sorry, the zoom in doesn't allow me to have the full field of view. So that's it. So now at this point, if you do a GetCS online user, there you go. And you go back to the client policy right here. Now, previously, remember, actually, it was client null, and now it is just client policy, no IAM URL. Just to close on this, what you can do is, and a lot of actually folks wanted this, if you want to just go back to the previous behavior, all you have to do is, just do dollar null. So if you're saying, hey, I made some changes, but I actually want to go back to the previous default behavior, you just do dollar null, in which case you go back to the previous link online remote partial behavior, right? Cool. That ends the demo. I'm going to switch back to the slides. Okay. So just revisiting the example use cases. Right? So one is, we talked about granting a CS conferencing policy that disables video. We also talked about the client in-band policy, right, extending Link Admin Center. This is something that you cannot do with Link Admin Center, but Remote PowerShell allows that. And building your own admin interface. Actually, Barry has a really cool script demo that he created that he can, it shows the power of really PowerShell, right? So it shows how you can have various environments like AD, Exchange, and Link all managed through like one window. And you can actually build like menu kind of interface to do that. So moving on. So current limitations and looking ahead. So we GA'd, by the way, GA is general availability. So we did that back in August of 2013. It's been a good source of feedback. Some of the limitations that I want to mention, the initial RPS connection can take up to a minute. Usually, typically, it's a lot quicker, as you saw in the demo, but we've seen instances where it could take up to a minute. The policy instances, as you might have already figured out, are not very intuitively named. Particularly for folks who are not used to the policy instance concept, it takes a little bit of time to get used to. We also don't have all the policy instances, so there are some policy instances that might be missing. And the last one is, if you change something, say a particular policy using Remote PowerShell, and if you go to Link Admin Center and make some more changes, it is possible. There is a possibility that you can actually override the changes that you did with Remote PowerShell. So again, looking ahead, we are working on that. So very first thing is we're going to improve the initial connection performance and really enable smoother co-manageability across Remote PowerShell and Link Admin Center. And the third one is we are working on having the ability for administrators to create their own policy instances. Cool. I think that was it. Thank you very much. I'll hand it off to Barry.
Very good. Thank you, Mahesh. I'm always impressed by his ability to navigate around the Zoom feature in real time and underline all the stuff. I can't do that. And effectively, I ended up going, okay, how do I put this thing on some sort of automatum so that it can just happen without me having to think too much? And that's basically how I ended up building a menuing system. What I will say is we talked to the download team for TechNet, and they agreed to bundle this up. I've documented my scripts, and they've bundled it and placed it, well, they are in the process of bundling it and placing it up on the download center, and I'm giving you a Bing search that you can use if you want to go ahead and download my scripts. You'll unzip them and read the README. There is documentation provided as well. And just customize it. We explain exactly which fields you need to change to make it your tenant, your account, etc. And then you can basically use my demo script to do demos if that's what you want to do, or just to learn how PowerShell for Link Online works. All right, so without further ado, I'm going to switch screens. I'm number 5. Here we go. Is that now displaying? Okay, good. So I'm going to run as administrator. I do a couple of checks to make sure I am the administrator. We got through them, so we're good. I can either go verbose, and if I go verbose, I'm going to display each of my commands before I display the output. That way it's a learning tool, and I'm going to choose that one today. People can find that a little bit distracting, so you can go with a silent mode if you choose option 2. So I'm going to go with option 1. And just while we wait, what's happening here is, if you remember, you were told that I enter my credentials. I prefer to do that with the command line rather than have the pop-up come up, so I made a slight change there. I then load up the session, all right? So that's the process we're now in. For some reason with my script, it does seem to take its own time. Now, I have another PowerShell script that I started launching just after he'd finished his demo. So we can swap to that if it takes like more than 30 seconds here. In the meantime, just a little personal background. I used to be the system admin for the OECD in Paris, and I built their online services. And after that, I went to ETSI, the European Telecommunications Standards Institute, and I built their online services, both satellite-based document dissemination mechanisms, as well as all of the current generation of list servers and other things that people who work on standards need to use. So that's sort of my background. I then shifted into voice over IP, IP telephony. I worked on some of the early standards in this space and then shifted into product. I'm now with the Link technical marketing team. So it's been a good 20 years since I did anything like this, and I'm a marketing guy. We seem to be making a bit of progress here. So I'm loading actually three connectors. The first connector, which is that required me to tell you my life story, was the Link Online one. As you can tell, it was a little bit slow in my script. It was much faster for Mahesh. He's obviously paying the right money to the right people. The second one that I loaded there was the Office 365 Azure Active Directory connector. Hands up, anyone who's had a go at loading that one? Okay, I see one, two hands go up. So I give you the code on how to do that. The third connector I loaded was the Exchange one. I just need that to show you a report. You can obviously get the reports if you go into the admin center. I'm showing you how you can get the same stuff using a command line. So that gives me a warning. I've never quite dug into why I'm getting that warning, but there it is. And we are now into my menuing system. So the first thing I'm going to do is replicate what Mahesh did, and I'm going to list off my Link Online commands with option one here. And let me just resize that slightly so that I can scroll back. There are actually 48, and I took the time to put a little number next to each one. I am planning to enhance this so that I can display the help. So at some time in the future, I'll build this into a system where you can display information against each command. There are 48 of them. The reason it came up with a much larger number when Mahesh first did his search was because we have four separate tenant sizes. So going from small, medium, large, and extra large. Again, if you want to learn more about extra large, please do attend Only 303, which is the session that Francois is giving right now, that talks about how to manage your extremely large tenants. All right, so that was how I go ahead and display the commands. Next one is option two. I'm going to go ahead and just display the Link technical marketing team, who are all members of this particular tenant. We use it for demo purposes. I hope this is large enough on your screen. If it isn't, well, I think we'll just have to be satisfied with this size. But as you can see, they've all got a conferencing policy set to BPOS all modality, except for this guy, Barry C, and he has no recording set. Well, I kind of left it that way so that we could do a little bit of a demo, but what I'm going to show you is three ways of setting that. I'm going to set it for myself as an individual, and then I'm going to go into group management, which is the option below, and we're going to head and do that for the whole group, or we're going to do it for the whole organization. So we're going to play around with conferencing policies a little bit. So first of all, I did want to show you the... I'm not going to show you the get command for Office 365. It is there in the code if you need to have a look, but I will show you the list users, because what I do is I do a quick data dip into their licensing situation to find out, first of all, which license they're currently running, and then secondly, I get the consumed units and the active units, the active ones being the ones that you've purchased, and obviously the consumed ones being the ones you've allocated to actual users. So that kind of information is actually fairly handy when you're managing a tenant like this. Okay, so we're back into the menu, and I'm going to choose option 7 here. I'm just going to pull up a report. As you will see, no one is using this tenant. But you do see that way back in January, we did do a couple of things. I happen to know that I was calling Derek Whittle, who's sitting at the back of the room again. We were trying to do some Link Skype connectivity testing. So I did make a few calls, and that's why you can see some numbers here coming up in January. Apart from that, it's really just a demo system. But obviously, as you get broader with it, you can get more data. And I'm going to talk briefly in a while about the reporting capabilities in more depth. We've added a few more reports, but I've got to say, we're still very helicopter level here. We are not giving you a CDR at this moment in time. It is planned sometime in the future, but I'll tell you where we've got to so far with providing more reporting capability for Link Online. All right, so that was kind of my high-level menu. Now I'm going to drill down into a specific user, and I've chosen option 3. Here we go. It gives me a default, so I'm going to go ahead and select my default. You can set the default to be your own accounts to help you with your demos. And we're now in the user menu, and I can go ahead and do what Mahesh did earlier on with option 1. I can go ahead and display all of the settings for this particular user, and it's about 3.5 screens long. So there's lots of stuff in there. What I then do is I do a filter on that information and just display the bits that I think will help me with this particular demo. So, you know, I grab their alias, I grab the SIP address, the conferencing policy, and I also grab the register pool. Why did I do that? Well, Albert Koyman, who's my colleague who manages the Link Room Systems, wanted me to grab the register pool so he could set a Link Room System. So you'll need to know that information when you start down that path. And you can use PowerShell to basically activate the Link Room System. You will need that register pool to do that. Okay, so far so good. I'm now going to drop down to option 6 here, and we're going to have a look at blocking domains. Now, one of the beautiful things about Link Online when compared to Skype is you have all of the control to determine who can talk to who, and obviously your conferencing policies and your client policies can set what modalities people can use when they communicate. I can tell you over on the Skype side, that is limited, to say the least. I can switch off file transfer using a registry setting. It's about as far as it goes. There's no other Active Directory capability whatsoever. So way more power, way more control here, which is great. So let's do option 6. This will display my blocked domains. Guess who it's going to be? Any votes? Oh, look, it's Contoso. What a surprise. I'm going to add a new one to block. So no one in this organization, in this tenant, can communicate right now with Contoso.com. Could be someone else. Could be a company beginning with, well, C, G. But I'm actually just going to go ahead and use my own domain here quickly. Enter a domain to block, Barry Castle. There we go. And boom, there it is. No one can communicate with my domain either at this stage. Okay, so I'm displaying the commands here that you're using. So set CS tenant federation configuration dash tenant. This is my tenant ID, block domain, and the domain was Barry Castle, so I set that, didn't I? Yes, new edge. There we go. All right. So far, so good. That's how you block them. You can also remove them. Just checking the time. I can actually go ahead and do a remove. So let's give that a go. I'll select option 8. Here we go. I'll give you the syntax on how to remove a domain. Here's a domain to remove. There it is. And there we go. Similar command to remove it this time using remove new edge. Okay, so simple way of managing your blocked list. That list could become quite involved, of course. Your policy as an organization may be to block all of your competitors' domains for reasons of, let's say, employee retention, or you are a compliance organization, you're not allowed to go out and start communicating with other folks out there, so it's pretty important that you establish rigorous rules about this stuff. I know my demo was simple, but the subject matter is actually quite important. I hope that helped. The commands are there, as I said, documented in the system, but also we give you the source code. So next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and do the stuff that Mahesh was showing you about policy instances. Let's choose option 3. This will list all of the available policy instances. I should get a warning here that tells me not all policy instances can be applied to all users. There it was. Okay, and I'm just reinforcing what was being said earlier by Mahesh. This warning is coming up because it's just reminding me I didn't choose the applicable to option when I did this command. And it's just reminding me, hey, If this user happens to be in a country that doesn't allow one of these policy instances, you don't get to use it. So the system on the back end is making sure that we stay compliance with possibly export rules in certain countries, or simply the unavailability of a feature in a country. But effectively, the system's looking after you on the back end, and it's just giving you that warning to remind you of the that list may not be applicable to this particular user. All right, so that was a display of the policy instances. I'm going to display the policy instant detail that we've currently got. Actually, I'm not going to interpret it for you. I will display it for you. If you remember, this particular user had all modality, no recording. Okay. So we're heading off. We're grabbing. This is a policy instance in action. It's got an identity. You can see BPOS, all modality, no record. You see all of the stuff that's set to true. Mahesh, can you see where it says recording? Oh, I can't. It's too much info. I'm sure I could filter on it. Anyone see it? I see external users to record meeting is false. It's about 10 lines down. All right. Look at it more carefully if you're watching the recording. It is there. It's about 10, maybe 15 lines down. All right. So we have a policy instance that's set for this user, no recording. Let's have a look at how we manage those policy instances. So I'm going to choose 5. These are actually all of the policy instances that I found when I initially wrote the code. So we have all modality, all except video, file transfer, recording, video and file transfer, video and recording. So you've got a few options there. It's not as long as it should be, and I suspect that's why Mahesh is saying we'll continue to expand this, but eventually our customers need to be able to set their own policy instances. That's, as he'd mentioned, in the roadmap sometime in the future. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to set this guy to be number 3, which is no file transfer. I'm doing that because I need him to be slightly different than the other members of the group, because we're going to continue with this story I'm telling as we start to manage groups. So this is now set to BPOS, all modality, no file transfer. I'm going to move up through the menus. Okay, and back at the master menu, I'm then going to go to, I'm going to pop up to the group management capability, which was option number 4 on this top tenant level menu. Boom. Okay, so my options are display conference policy for all users. Let's start with that. Okay, I think we'd already displayed it earlier on, but I just thought I'd refresh your memory. You can now see that I'm set to BPOS all modality, no file transfer, right? Remember, I just changed that. Looking to the left, you can see that I'm also doing an Active Directory dip, and I'm finding out which group was assigned in the admin center to each of my users. I went in through the admin center to do that. You can see I got a couple of technical marketing guys. I'm going to set a policy. I'm going to change policy for the technical marketing guys, one of which is going to be me. So here we go. I'm going to grant all modes to technical marketing. Boom. There we go. Warning. Why did we get the warning? Well, it turned out, I suspect, that Tim Wu already had all modality, right? So we got that warning because we couldn't make the change. You're all nodding because you're ahead of me on this, but I'll keep going through my process. So the next thing is when we're going to go grant all except video for those people. Boom, here we go. So, you know, I mentioned earlier on about customization. I mentioned earlier on about being able to repeat commands and get those economies of scale. I think I'm showing that you can get a lot done really quickly by being able to reuse scripts over and over again. I'm not saying a menu is the way you would actually work in real life. But the menu proves that you can do a lot your own way. You know, you can kind of have it your own way with PowerShell. And I'm a marketing guy, as I said, haven't done any of this stuff for 20 years. And I came up and running pretty quick. About a month later, we were able to start doing this stuff. I'm now going to set something for everyone. So let's go grant all except video to everyone. I think we're going to get 2 warnings. That's the way it should work. At the end of this demo, I've got to set it all back. Boom, there we go. Now everyone is set, no video. We're going to set it back so that everyone's got video in case someone else wants to come and use this tenant. You never know. All right, again, it's all about being able to repeat stuff, but really this is training wheels for you guys. It's not exhaustive, but it gets you up and running. It shows you how to start sessions, how to import the libraries, how to mix and match the Exchange stuff with the Active Directory stuff, as well as Link Online. So three different connectors running at the same time, and I got a warning, but it looks like it did actually achieve what I'd asked it to do. I'm going to neatly move back to the PowerPoint and carry on. This is the Bing, if you want to search for my scripts, have a look at what I've done. And we're now going to enter a session on link reporting. So first of all, we do know that in the end, the market is looking for a range of reports that cover just about everything you would want to do with current usage levels, whether that's at the group level, the user level. Why a group level? Obviously for chargeback purposes. At the individual level, I want to check, you know, is someone overusing certain features? Today, that's not really an issue. Most of this is offered in the cloud. As we move forwards, of course, there will come a time where we're going to need to report on PSTN connectivity for outbound calls. Same for inbound, really. So we need full CDRs. We know that. Something that's being worked on. And I suspect we'll have good news for you as we progress. And there is a quarterly update program that I'm seeing here. We are getting better at this. So we first introduced reporting in May 2013. So nearly a year later, we've had a couple of things added in. So there is a report now that allows you to see who has logged in, so who are your active users. That's critically important. Not the who, though. Actually, we're just showing you the numbers right now. Eventually, we'll give you the who. And then the other aspect of that is we provide minutes, number of minutes for people doing different modalities. So those two have been added. They weren't there before. So this is the interface. You go into your Office 365 admin center. You select reports, which is over on the left column here. And then you go link, and bam, here are all of our canned reports ready to go. You can go daily, weekly, monthly. Just how exciting can I make this screen? I hope you're as excited as I am. We're sharing the reporting infrastructure with Exchange, so just a word of warning. Some of your needs may require that you go ahead and just export some of your users into Link Online, and you decide not to have them use Office 365, so they're not part of the Office 365 portal. In that case, they're using Link Online's admin center directly. And if you do that, you can't do the reporting capability. You must have at least one Exchange tenant, one Exchange license, in order to get the report to work. It's a RESTful web interface, and there will be more access provided. So do expect further enhancements that will provide things like your ability to customize these reports as you move forwards. And these are the list of reports that are available. So active user report, peer-to-peer, session reports, conferencing report. But these are very high level. They're not at the user level. I cannot display who did what when. They're just summary numbers. In the way that do you remember in my demo, I showed you a list of users who had done peer-to-peer calls, voice and video. They were just summaries, no detail. That will come. You can obviously, in the actual command that you issue, here I'm doing a get CS peer-to-peer session report. So effectively, the stuff I showed you earlier with the screenshots, I'm now showing you with PowerShell getting to the same information with the date ranges, etc. So a little bit more granularity on the date range stuff, but again, it's still too high level to do everything that folks want. There's a summary of all of the reports as well in the overview, reports overview, and then, reports and then link. You'll see that you can see that list. And this one is IM and audio sessions. This one is active users by date. It's monthly. Audio minutes and video minutes. audio video conferencing minutes. We have 15 minutes left. I'm suggesting we open it up for questions. What I'm going to run through is a quick summary. So it's PowerShell is familiar for organizations that are running Microsoft servers and applications. It's a cloud-based solution. It can be used in conjunction with Exchange and Office 365, as I said three times, I think. It's feature-rich, so it actually completes. It provides slightly more capability and control than you get with the Admin Center. Performance, you can handle bulk changes the way I did just now. To make a change to all users the way I just did will take you quite a lot of time using clicks. It's customizable. I think I've shown you that with my menu interface. So those were my objectives. Just make sure that you understood how PowerShell contributes to our value proposition, the notion that you're in control, using the tools that you're already familiar with. We've shown you when to use PowerShell. One word of warning, neither of us said this. I know we're meant to. If you are using the Admin Center in conjunction with PowerShell today, our recommendation is be careful to make sure that you're not getting collisions in the changes that you're making. Use PowerShell rather than the Admin Center until you're done. We need to get both interfaces synchronized, but you create your own race conditions by using the same tools at the same time. Word of warning, it may happen to you. It certainly happened to me at least once. All right, so we're going to throw it open to questions. All right, I always ask the same question. I think I know the answer, but when I run reports and I see times, what time is actually used as the baseline for those reports? Well, I looked it up, and it turns out it's the time of day for the location of the tenant. So it's actually in the country where you've got the tenant running. It's quite important to say that, because for some users, they may be actually using that tenant from another country. So we'll actually standardize on where the tenant is located. It's where the tenant was created. Okay? There you go. One question. Now, if no one asks any more, you've got to invent your own questions, Mahesh.
So any more questions? Of course, we have the $10 Skype.
Oh, we're bribing minutes. You for questions. Yeah.
So, really, we have I believe we have a great solution here for your manageability needs. That is, it scales, it's automatable, and it also extends some of the things that you want to do. So, and of course, we want to continuously make it better, so your feedback is very welcome. Yes?
My question was about the RTE. I mean, Microsoft can fix it
with a tool. We're trying to get everything to use. So let me
clarify that. So hold on. Because people can attend this session by dialing into it, we have to repeat your question, I'm afraid, or you have to stand up and use the mic. Question is, hey, I asked a question earlier on about Windows PowerShell for Link Online on Windows RT. I'm going to reinforce the need for that particular feature and that operating system support. So that was the question.
Okay. So we have not tested, I think, particularly on RT, so that's why my answer was default no. And I can get back to you on, if we'll have a roadmap for actually testing it and then supporting it. I can't think of any reason that it will not work, but given that we have not tested it, my default answer is no. But I'll be surprised if it doesn't work.
After what I've seen, it's just the operating system doesn't let it import the session. It just gets those errors and can't write the correct read and run the admin. So that's just what I'm trying to work on.
Okay. So if you have any experience with that and if you have seen issues, we can chat. Okay.
So maybe our next demo should be how you can control another machine from Windows RT to head off to the server, kind of like what I did here, right?
That's always the answer on the forums that I'm reading.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, well, listen, everyone, thank you for being patient with us. You've been Very kind to stay all the way. It's tough to actually present a PowerShell session to people who already use PowerShell like this. We covered basically everything you need to know to get up and running and productive. Please do search for my script if you have questions. It'll help you along the way to bring you up to speed more quickly than maybe reading through what is, I think, 30 to 40 pages of documentation. There you go. Thank you very much, everyone. Oh, and I am required to remind you to fill in your eval sessions. Do provide suggestions on how we can make this more exciting. We do our best. It's one of those topics, but we're grateful for you guys for having stayed. Thank you.